With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of the Cult Pop Show podcast was brought to you by our Patreon.
If you want to tell us which films we should watch, get up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, give us something to talk about in the post-credit scenes at the end of each episode, or even contribute to the discussion in the episode itself, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopshow. Okay, welcome everybody to a very special experimental episode of the Cult Pop Show podcast. My name is AJ. I'm here with Richard and Jess. Hi, Richard and Jess.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome. So, if you're new here, generally what we do on this podcast is we talk about franchises, and in between talking about franchises, we talk about general
fun. We talk about some other dumb shit.
Yeah, pop cultural topics, or play some games, and it's always very last minute, and it's not gonna lie.
I have no idea what we're doing.
Today shall be no exception.
No, of course. Okay, so Richard, I feel like for years we've felt that the film franchise Fortnite's legacy is leading either toward like a book we might write someday, or some kind of board game or card game, something that can give us an excuse to try out a Kickstarter campaign.
And get some money.
So I guess like the problem I've always had with coming up with a game, a Cult Popshire game, the Cult Popshire board game, is coming up with like a unique enough idea that isn't just copying one of the movie themed board games that already exist,
like Jumanji.
No, I'm more like Geek Out or something like that. Like Geek Out would be a perfect game to put the Cult Popshire name on, I think.
Should we just play Geek Out?
Let's just play Geek Out.
It's in our closet
somewhere. Do we? I know AJ definitely has it.
So I came up with a game that needs finessing. So please do feel free.
I thought you were going
to
say a game that needs no introduction, because ironically it needs quite the introduction. It's kind of a running, like quite often there's been a few episodes, if you go listen back, where, you know, I've put like a lot of hard work into something in the 2 weeks or now a month between off week episodes, and AJ comes in and goes, I don't even really know what we're doing. I don't even like. I probably okay. Don't care.
Let's not start measuring how long each of our let's not have a doc measuring contest I do a lot more scripting for film franchise Fortnites than you.
Yeah,
do,
but I know when I come to film franchise Fortnites what we're doing. But no, you get to always be like, I'm so flippant, I'm so nonchalant and casual that I don't even know what we're doing. But I think I have the least idea I've ever had of what an off week is. You sent me a Google Sheets document, which I'm going to open live on the podcast and can describe for the first time to the listeners what Jess and I are seeing.
I think Jess should describe.
Okay, I'm going to click over to the game Google Sheet now.
I'm just along for the ride. I just woke up from a 2-hour nap. It was great.
2-hour nap? That's asleep. That's horrible. You must feel like shit now.
I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. I would feel terrible after a 2-hour nap that ended at 6:40 in the evening.
So,
don't judge me.
What we've got here.
I'm not judging. I'm sympathetic.
Jess, do you want to describe what you're seeing on this Google Sheet?
Okay. So I'm seeing a very simple Excel document, which is one column, 13 rows. At the top,
it doesn't really matter how many.
Look, I'm a numbers person, AJ.
Sorry, you're describing. You're describing.
Two segments for player one, player two. Two green segments, one red segment each.
But what's interesting, though, is that the segments are below player one. It goes, so the top four rows and cells, I should say, player one, green, red. And then down, you know, six cells below that, you've got red, green, player two.
Like if you were introduced to this just looking at it, I'd say we're playing the chase.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It looks very the chase. Like,
look, this is...
I am interested to find out what the brief sort of little bit of knowledge that I do have, I would... I don't remember anything about symmetry there, and what I've been presented with is quite a bit of symmetry. Mm.
Well, this is really just a placeholder, because I imagine this would probably be a card game.
Okay.
And this is just a placeholder for us to visualize what's going on. And what this game is, I'm going to call it, tentatively, I'm happy to change the title, I'm going to call it Film Franchise Fight. That's what it's called. Okay? And essentially what I've done is I've created the film franchise equivalent of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Battle that I can find more palatable.
Okay, you've got me interested now. Why didn't you tell me this earlier in the week? I would have been all over it.
If you were to look at this Excel spreadsheet and think of it more as like you're looking down on a bird's eye view of like a Yu-Gi-Oh!
Right, okay. Now I see
the Yu-Gi-Oh-ness of it. I think they need to be like slightly on an axis though, because like usually you pull them from your arm, right? So I feel like we need...
Right. Well, we haven't got our deck yet. We haven't built our deck yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So how this is going to work is I'm going to open up our letterboxed list for the every franchise we've ever covered. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have... how about you two play the first round and I'll referee? Mm-hmm. And then we'll each... So it's a three-player game, but one of the players is what I'm calling the referee. So there's two active fighters, and then you need basically an adjudicator as an extra player as well. Does that sound good? Okay, so I've put up our film franchise Fortnite's list, and every franchise we've ever done obviously has a number correlating to it. So, Richard, can you randomly draw... Five numbers for me. Five separate numbers.
Okay. And what's it out of these days?
I'm going to say 169. Actually, no, that hasn't been updated. I need to add... all right, well, if it's 170 or 71, then it's the two franchises we've covered since Scooby-Doo. Let's do up to Scooby-Doo. So 169.
Okay.
I hope I've seen enough of these.
23.
All right, Richard, your first card is Divergent.
Do we need to be making some kind of
note? I'm going to add them to the Google Doc. Hey.
Visual notes.
There we go. Imagine these as cards you would pull from a deck. All right, do you want to get Jess one?
Okay, Jess, your first number is?
106.
106 is The Expendables.
Cool.
They're pretty powerful. I mean, I don't know what we're doing, but I imagine they're...
Richard.
Okay, my next one is...
140.
140 is Phantasm.
Ugh.
Oh, jealous.
What's Jess's next one?
121.
121 is Barbie. Oh my God, what a blockbuster franchise.
That's really Richard. Good or bad. I don't know what we're doing.
Give me your third number.
I sped it up.
What was that?
133. It was taking too long. That's too fast, objectively.
133 is Fear Street.
Oh, and Jess's next one is?
52.
52. Yep. That's a nice speed.
Yeah, that's a good speed.
52. Yep. 52 is Camp Rock.
Ooh.
Yep.
My next one is
91.
Yep.
91.
91 is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, that's my one. No, you're nice.
22.
Jurassic Park.
Ooh.
Nice.
My last one. All right. What do we think it's going to be? I reckon I'm going to get some dumb shit. I'm going to get some dumb two-film franchise like Lady and the Tramp.
Okay.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
24.
The Boondock Saints.
It is a dumb two-film franchise, and we covered that very close to Lady and the Tramp.
In context for the game.
And last one for Jess. Yeah.
Last one for Jess is?
One.
One.
One? Well, it's one. Lethal Weapon.
It says one right there. Bam.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard that random number generator say one. in all the years we've been using it. Alrighty, so these are your decks. So to update for those who can't see, Richard has got Divergent, Phantasm, Fear Street, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Boondock Saints. Jess has got The Expendables, Barbie, Camp Rock, Jurassic Park, and Lethal Weapon. So I want you guys to think of these as cards in your hand.
Okay.
Are we all comfortable with these five cards? Do you feel like you need to...
I play Texas Chainsaw Massacre in defense mode. And I place
okay,
two cards face down and end my turn.
Maybe we can work stuff like that into it. But so these three blocks either side are under your player name. So green, green, and red. Mm-hmm. The two greens represent a character and the red represents an event.
Ooh,
okay. Mm. So you guys, let's say you start with... I didn't think about a life points situation. All right, let's cross that bridge when we come to
okay.
it. The aim of the game is to defeat one another by using two characters and one event each round, and you have to justify why you think your Expendables character could beat your Texas Chainsaw Massacre character. So one person will start as an attack, and then the person will defend, and then you'll switch. Then the person who just defended will attack, and the other player will defend. And it is up to me as the adjudicator to decide whether or not your reasoning, whether or not your justification is good enough that you've defeated the character you've versed.
This is workshopping, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. that the event, so it's one character from my franchise, from one of my five franchises versus mm-hmm. one character from one of Jess's five franchises. Is that correct?
I think maybe in one round you can use all three.
All three
of
what?
Your attack card. You can use both characters and an event to attack. Maybe you're attacking the player and or not.
Okay. Okay.
Should we do a round and
yeah.
see if it works?
Yeah, okay.
All right, player one, Richard, did you want to start off with your attack?
Okay, my attack, I'm going to go with Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
You are going Leatherface on the board? Yep, and who of these characters are you attacking?
I can attack any of Jess's franchises.
Let's say it's that way, yep.
Oh, so if I don't choose to, like, tap in any of my cards, then he can still attack them and then attack me.
So I guess that Richard says, I'm going to get Leatherface and the
Camp
tall
Rock.
Man to attack, yeah, your whatever you're defending from Camp Rock. You then just have your entire deck to fight back against that, I guess.
Okay.
Or should it specifically be from Camp Rock? Or at least one of them has to be from Camp Rock. So player one would choose which is player two's first franchise that they must fight from. But then they can also bring in an event and a character from any...
Well, wouldn't I be making her choose a defense franchise by attacking it?
Yes, you are.
So but then, yeah. So I don't get to pick my second franchise. Because Jess effectively picks that for me by attacking.
But by attacking it.
But you're going first, so it'd be so let's play it and
okay.
see what happens, maybe. And we can always go back. So Richard, you can still play your other character and event in your team.
Okay, I'm gonna choose Willem Dafoe's character from Boondock Saints. He's gay and he likes classical music, and there are lots of interesting things about him.
Sweet. Yep, and then your event.
My event, I'm going to say... So it can be just anything that happened in one of these franchises.
Correct.
I'm going to go with fucking Summer Camp from Fear Street 1984, or whatever it's called.
Okay, so, Jess, you have been attacked with Leatherface and Willem Dafoe's character from Boondock Saints. You've been attacked with the sort of slasher... Summer Camp from Fear Street. How do you want to defend yourself?
Oh, God. I haven't watched The Expendables or Lethal Weapon. I just tried to do a quick Google, so I'm going to be making some of this shit up.
Hey. But you can okay. choose from the other three.
But you know
then.
What? I believe in the heart of the cards.
That is
so.
True.
Yeah, well, there you go. Exactly.
I'm going to choose Barbie's got to go against Dafoe.
Okay, so you've got Barbie and there. Is there a specific character from Barbie? A specific Barbie you
want
to do?
Yeah, I want just regular the mermaid Barbie.
Nice. Mermaid. Which mermaid Barbie? They just not narrow it down.
Oh, God.
Mermaid Barbie and another character?
And then I think I want against Leatherface is I want Sylvester Stallone from The Expendables.
What's his character's name? Do we remember?
Oh, shit.
Barney.
Barney. Barbie and Barney. All right, it and is, what's an event?
It is Barney, yeah. Barney Ross, yeah.
What is an event from any of these five franchises that you would put up as defense?
You know what? You attack me with the summer camp. I'm coming back at you with the summer camp. I'm going the Camp Rock's final jam. Final jam.
The final jam. Okay, so I guess now what happens for me to be able to decide the winner is, Richard, walk me through how you're attacking these Jess's three or two characters, and then Jess, you will be able to defend, and we'll go back and forth until I've decided who wins.
So Leatherface and Willem Dafoe are going to sneak into the final jam. Can I do that?
Yeah.
And they're going to just kill everyone.
Nah, man. Jess, because what's going to happen is, so Demi Lovato, she's all on stage, she's singing, it's a good vibe going, right? Yes. And then Barbie Mermaid's there. Leatherface gets there, sees that she's also not the typical human looking. So he's immediately interested in her, goes and talks to Barbie, mothers him to the point where he feels like he's fulfilled as a human and doesn't want to kill people anymore.
So Leatherface is attracted to Demi Lovato because Demi too does not look like a human.
No, Mermaid Barbie.
I was like, damn, burn on Demi Lovato.
I was just laying down that Demi setting the vibes. Right, okay, it's there, it's happening. So Leatherface is essentially disabled.
I think
he's
Leatherface
tapped.
Would use his chainsaw to cut Barbie's mermaid tail in twain, thus removing the one interesting thing about her, because now she effectively just has legs.
So what I'm thinking here is Jess has done something very smart, which is using maybe one of the most calming motherly presences in any franchise we've ever watched. She's used that against someone who just wants to be loved and is acting out violently because they aren't loved. And I think I'm going to give this to Mermaid Barbie. I think Leatherface is gone from the lineup.
Wow.
I think you've lost Leatherface, Richard.
Well, I think that Willem Dafoe would try kiss Barney.
Okay, because he's gay and he likes classical music, so he wouldn't be liking the final jam.
Yeah, he wouldn't like the final jam at all.
Cool. Well, then I reckon Joe Jonas hits like a magical button on the wall. We've got like 30 mirror balls that drop down. It gets all romantic.
Right.
So you're submitting. Is Barney seducing Willem Dafoe's character?
Oh my God, is Barney going to break his heart?
Sounds like they're seducing each other.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna judge this. I think Sylvester Stallone is nowhere near progressive enough to allow Barney as a character to even entertain the idea of this. So I think Dafoe defeats Barney.
Come on, Barney.
All right, so we've got Dafoe versus Mermaid Barbie left. It sounds like we're at the final jam and not at the summer camp.
Well, I think the final jam, Richard, is happening in 1984.
Are we both accepting this? Yeah. Both players accept that as a rule? Okay, so if we're combining them both, you may use both the, like, this is quite like D&D, isn't it? Like, you can use the settings, but you can't. So, Jess, you mentioned Joe Jonas pulling down a bunch of mirrors or whatever before. I think you can use characters in that setting as, like, supporting roles, but you have to deliver the killing blow with Mermaid Barbie. It can't be with a Camp Rock character. They can assist, but it's, and same for you, Richard, you've got to do it with Dafoe and not with any of the like 1984 summer camp.
Right, but I do get to exist in the summer camp where like you can get stabbed like a fuckload and CPR will save you.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's what I want this game to be, is using the logic of the universe itself, right? That's what the event card is for. It's to like consider the playing field that we're playing in.
Mm. Well, I mean, I do think that
come at me, bruh.
Neither camp being underwater is a big advantage to Willem Dafoe.
Well, is Barbie coming out of the water, though? That's the question.
Yeah, her power's in her heart, man.
Remember the, is it Mermaid Tale 2? Where she's like, they're underwater and she's like, one of them's being cursed to be a mermaid. And she's like, oh, I'll lift your curse right now. And then they're like, oh, fuck, we're underwater. And then so she like immediately starts drowning.
I think that's Mermaidia, isn't it?
I can't remember which one it is.
I can't remember either. All right, so what are we? Whose turn is it? Who was just so Barney was just knocked off, which makes me think it's Jess's turn to retaliate.
Okay. Cool. So with Barbie as the lead character, because Boondock Saints, yeah, it's Irish, right?
Yes.
So they're all about respect within the community.
To be sure.
So what?
I think it's actually Boston, isn't it?
But it's Irish, like you know how Americans will be like, yeah, I'm Irish, but it's like,
yeah.
You're like four or five generations back Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Barbie, with her gang of Demi, Joe, Nick, and the other one behind her,
Frankie
in the water.
They're gonna what's that thing they do in Camp Rock? Is it like the boom snap clap?
Oh yeah.
Anyway, they're gonna do that really cringe dance move all the way up the hall.
Mm-hmm.
To Dafoe.
Wait. But Mermaid Barnaby can't go out of the water. I'm picturing her in the lake next to the
But she can still breathe stuff.
Right, but she's not boom clapping, is she? She's flat boom clapping.
She's doing the best she can, AJ.
I think Mermaid Barbie can't leave the nearby lake of Camp
Rock.
Dafoe just stands, let's say, 2 meters away from the lake.
Yeah, whatever. Her groupies can just be doing it. It's just for effect. And then what Barbie's going to be doing is she's going to whip around and bitch slap him with her tail, and he's going to be so embarrassed that this little girl bitch slapped him in the face that he won't retaliate, and he'll go away and cry.
Okay, Richard, your rebuttal.
I think that Willem Dafoe just kills everyone.
Nah, he's been disrespected in front of every single person there. He's just taking the biggest blow to his ego. There's no way that it will be one of those moments where he's spinning around all delusional because he's having a panic attack at how awful he feels.
Yeah.
So I think the only way that Jess can win this is if she recalls some very specific characterization of Willem Dafoe's character from Boondock Saints that would justify him being more of someone who would run away in shame as opposed to murder everyone at the camp, which is also something I don't necessarily think that he would do. But all I can remember of Dafoe's characteristics from Boondock Saints are that he's gay and he likes classical music.
Well, there are lots of interesting things about him.
But I don't remember what they are. So I don't know. I think Richard might have this unless Jess can quickly think of something that happens in Boondock Saints like that can justify
their attack. Can I just drag him into the water and drown him at the bottom of the lake?
Well, how would you get out of the water?
Let me just fact check him whether or not he has gills.
Is the thing that he's afraid of water?
What is he afraid of? I feel like he's. Look, I'm going to look this guy up.
What is this guy?
The Wikipedia
doing?
Page is just he's gay.
If you don't get what we're referencing there as well, and like his.
Oh, he listens to opera. I'm going to sing. I'm going to become a siren.
Mermaids can lure people into the water with their opera.
Yeah,
that is good.
I think Jess has got it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Google.
There we go. All right, Jess wins with Mermaid Barbie luring Dafoe, opera loving, his name is Paul, what's his name? Paul Smicker. Paul Smicker. She lures the opera-loving Paul Smicker into the ocean, into the lake, with her opera mermaid skills, and he drowns.
Wow.
We did it. Nice.
For round two.
Yeah.
Can we switch up the game a bit?
Yeah, of course.
Because I want to have a go. I can adjudicate this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to play what I thought we were going to play when you set this up.
Okay.
So what I'm pitching is that you guys will get, say, let's just go three franchises each. And we'll make sure that they're ones you're familiar with. Or in Jess's case, Jess is familiar with. I imagine, AJ, you will be. And then you're going to pick two characters to be your fight. And then after that, I'm going to randomly select another franchise, which will give you the battlefield on which those characters will fight.
Okay.
Cool.
That sounds cool. Do we still get the events?
No.
Because an event isn't necessarily tied. Well, with your guys' events, you kind of went for
the same
settings.
Thing.
Yeah. So if it's less,
well, what were you thinking of for events? Because I don't think I understood that.
The world ending, whatever ended the world in Divergent, you know,
right.
Like some kind of cataclysm that you can use as an attack or a defense from, or it could be like the T-Rex getting out in Jurassic Park, but you use that event and not that character, so you can't control. I guess they would still be controlling a character. Maybe it does need a little bit of finessing.
Because otherwise it affects you too, right? In a negative way. So you want to try and whip crack it around.
But that's up to the adjudicator to decide, yes. Right?
So let's get you your teams. So we'll try this one. So you guys are just going to have characters for this one, and then I will. Then afterwards. So you guys have to. Should we make it? Because I was thinking about this. It's like, is it that we generate the playing field first, and then you guys try to build the best team you can for that playing field, or is it better that the playing field is a curveball? You're trying to build the most versatile team you can, so that the playing field, you know, you can.
I reckon playing field last. I reckon that's a cooler way to do it.
All right, here we go. So, Jess, you can be player one this time.
Ooh.
50.
Franchise 50 is the Nutty Professor, specifically the Eddie Murphy version.
Oh, it's the Eddie Murphy one. You get all of the clumps.
I'm going to have to Google.
Your first one is 74.
Franchise 74 gives me Bad Santa.
Bad Santa, all right. Jess, your next one is
19.
Yeah.
That is the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
No way.
I'm
so excited.
AJ, your second one is?
57.
A lot of sub-100s on this random.
57 is Cats and Dogs.
Oof.
Rough.
Meow.
80.
Okay, franchise 80 is Big Fat Liar.
Nice.
Cool.
And AJ, you get?
35.
All sub-100s.
Yeah.
35 gives me Monsters, Inc.
Damn, that's pretty
cool. So I have two franchises which are about secret society, child-friendly secret societies that live like under under the ground, basically.
So do we think three is enough, and then should we have two? Or you pick one character from it? Yeah, let's just try this.
I like having the range to be able to choose different characters.
Okay, let's give you five total. So that would be a nice hand. Okay, sweet. So, Jess, you get one more.
158.
There we go. Fucking random number generator. Thank you.
Thank you, number random number generator. 158 is Bad Boys.
Oh, so what you gonna do?
That was for Jess, right?
Yep.
Alrighty.
AJ.
91.
Okay, back to page one. 91 gives me the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, Jess's last one.
102.
102 is the Roger Moore James Bond movies.
Oh, God.
And AJ, you get
85 is what's it called? The Man with No Name.
Oh yeah, Jess. Just because obviously you haven't seen every film franchise we've covered. I'm, you know, I you're playing with a handicap, so is there any that you want to trade out there?
They're not too bad, to be honest. Maybe the Roger Moore James Bond.
All right. Yep. That sounds fair.
38. Sean Connery
Dumb
Bond.
And Dumber.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So
I love this. This is like a speculative D&D game using characters who have never versed each other.
Yeah.
And something like this. Because there'll be D&D podcasts where they go like, you know, Iron Man versus Darth Vader. But no one's versing Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber against the Cats and Dogs from Cats and Dogs. You know? I love that. That's so specific. So just to reiterate for those listening, my cards are Bad Santa, Cats and Dogs, Monsters, Inc., Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and The Man with No Name. And Jess's are the Nutty Professor Eddie Murphy version, Sister to the Traveling Pants, Big Fat Liar, Bad Boys, and Dumb and Dumber.
That's a stacked deck, man.
Okay, so now you get to pick three characters.
Do we do a location?
No, you choose the team first and then location last.
Ah, okay.
So the problem you're trying to create like a because you know if it's you know you pick the strongest characters and then the battlefield, you know, if we'd covered Mean Girls, it might be the mathalon at the end of it, and then you know you don't have any intelligence. And you would lose. So
I see.
To pick a well-rounded team.
Got it.
Is what you're after. Since Jess got, Jess, you can go first. Since we out of those five franchises, who do you want as your number one?
Am I allowed to choose the pants?
The pants.
They're essentially a character.
They are a character. Yeah. I mean, if you want to choose the pants,
I'm choosing the pants.
Okay. I mean, if you're talking versatility.
Yeah,
come I mean, on, they man. Fit America Ferreira, they fit Blake Lively. AJ, a selection from yours, please.
I'm going to go James P. Sullivan.
Oh, Sully from Monsters,
Inc. All right, so it's got a bit of brawn. Bit of brawn.
Jess, your second one, please.
I'm going to go Will Smith from Bad Boys.
Will Smith from Bad Boys.
What's the character's name? It's
Mike? Or is that Martin Lawrence? Smith.
It's confusing because they've changed names in the first
place. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
AJ, your second character, please.
I'm going to go the Man with No Name.
From?
The Man with No Name trilogy.
The Clint Eastwood Western trilogy. Jess, your final character, please.
I'm going to go with the kid from Big Fat Liar. Do you want me to find his
Frankie
name?
Frankie Muniz.
Yeah, Frankie. Yeah. Old mate Frankie.
Okay, Jess, I feel like my team is a lot better than you because I'm going to go Leatherface.
All right. Now, AJ, I'm going to give you...
One of yours isn't even a sentient being.
Hey, man, I've got a good imagination. I can come up with shit.
And then Richard, like...
Richard's like, that's selects dumb.
The location, and it's like, the pants store. And I'm like, oh, no!
the runway from Zoolander. All right.
168 is American Tail.
Okay.
Cool.
An American Tail.
So we could do Out West. We could do Out East.
Yeah.
We could do Russia.
No,
we have
the Man with No Name.
Russia.
Don't do Out West.
I am going to do.
Yeah.
You have to explain to me how your team would best overthrow the 1%, like from an American Tale 3, I believe.
Okay. Oh, right. So it's not even a fight to the death in this version. It's like, what is the goal of the movie that is the location?
Maybe. I that's what I chose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there can be multiple versions of, and you know, you get the deck and there's multiple different games you can play.
Yeah.
So I think that works. Okay. Alrighty. So we have to use our team to best overthrow the 1%. Mm-hmm. And it's whichever has the best
plan.
Yeah.
The best
whoever
plan
can do it the fastest, we'll say.
Oh, God.
All right. So should we do D&D sort of terms?
Okay. So I think...
Jess, I'll throw it to you first.
The first tactic I'd go for, it's not necessarily the fastest, but it might be the most tightest way to lock it in. So what we're going to do is Frankie, he's charming, right? What he's going to do is he's going to be writing the scripts and coaching Will Smith to become the president. And what we're going to do is we're going to tax the rich to overthrow them.
I will. I'm going to throw a problem your way, and then I'm going to throw it to AJ, and so you think about that.
Yep.
Think about...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
How devastating it was for Obama's political campaign when he threw the first pitch of that baseball game wearing mom jeans. And so, and you are saddled with these pants. So,
okay.
AJ, I'm going to throw to you while Jess, you think about how to overcome that. AJ, explain to me how your team
Sorry, just to clarify, is Frankie Muniz from Big Fat Liar, he's wearing the traveling pants?
President Will Smith, I think.
I was envisioning that Will Smith was going to be wearing
President
the pants.
Oh, President Will Smith.
Because, I mean, his ass would look so freaking good on those pants. That's America's ass, you know. They'd vote for
that. Have you ever seen Will Smith wearing jeans, though?
Well, AJ, yeah, like Jess,
yeah, it could be Jess great,
has got
AJ.
Her own issues to deal with now while you think of your... So, AJ, explain to me your plan.
Well, I think Sully has got experience with overturning fundamental infrastructures, okay? He's probably... I couldn't have gotten a better task to do with a Monsters, Inc. character, right? Because... If it was just like defeat each other, anything I could have said, you would have been like, yeah, but at the end, Monsters, Inc. gets turned into Laugh Energy.
Your monsters aren't real, AJ.
Okay, so Sully is leading this. Something, Richard, he has had experience with doing successfully before. Okay? He is going to bring in the man with no name as his right-hand man because this guy does not play by any rules. He, you know, he's an outlaw. He's not going to be bought out by anyone because, need I remind you, he is also titularly the good. He is good at, that is the essence of his character, is he is a good man. Even in an opportunity where he could be lawless, as is like politics, you know? Because you could be like, oh, he might convert, he might take some of the wealth for himself. He is the good. He wouldn't do that. And Leatherface, let me tell you how I'm going to work Leatherface into this plan. Let's say that Leatherface is going to be an example of the low socio-economical members of the world that Sully and Man With No Name want to save. So they are going to start with the hardest first by delivering Leatherface and his family. These are poor, deep south, poorly educated, not wealthy. They are going to specifically start on them, and they're going to bring Leatherface and his family out of poverty and help them get jobs, help them find wealth and be able to live upstanding lives instead of the dirt that they currently squander in.
I'm going to throw a problem your way.
I got some shit to say about that
and
as well.
And then Jess, you'll have a chance to rebut and solve yours. AJ, Sally has plenty of experience, sure, but only in the monster world, which operates on a completely different capitalistic society than our own. And also, you know, you've got human characters. I presume you're trying to overthrow the 1% of the human world. And I don't know that they would willingly work with someone in canon who is a horrific monster. So AJ, I'm going to leave you with that and we'll come back to Jess.
Okay.
Jess, what have you got for us?
I was just kind of thinking how, yeah, Sally does have experience with it, but it really wasn't his plan. It was kind of Mike's plan. So you kind of need someone with a bit of smarts in your team, but you've got Leatherface and the man with no name who might have...
More like the man with no brain.
Yeah. You know, because he's not integrated with society. So I feel like he wouldn't know the right strings to pull to make things happen. Just go around with his the less it will something.
Yeah, AJ, you're gasping for air here. I do. We will come back
also,
to your mind,
but I feel like your plan would take longer than mine because you're focusing on one family.
Your plan is getting Will Smith's character from Bad Boys to become president.
Yeah, but as soon as I manage to make that happen, think of the amount of people that I'll be able to help and influence.
As soon,
whether you're
okay,
relying
okay, you want to talk about
the economics
time.
Of trickle you down
talk about time.
Economics.
You're talking about at least a 3-year campaign, and that's even to get him.
There is an election next year, so...
Yeah, he can do it. We're going to run it.
You're already behind. So if there's an election next year, you're already looking at 6 years minimum for your plan to even begin.
No, we're going to run next year. Bernie's going to hand over. Not Bernie. What's his name? Biden.
You'll be eaten alive without a 3-year run-in. Everyone knows that.
Who says I'm running in America?
The fact that your characters are American.
And other countries have presidents.
The 1% in the American tale.
Oh yeah, shit.
Yeah, have you solved the mom jeans issue, Jess?
Yeah, I have, and I think the pants are. I'm simply coming back to the pants being just a bit magical. You know, they're designed to fit. They fit everyone
right.
in the most flattering way possible. So. In that same
I'm over
vibe.
Here being like, fuck, she's right.
In that same vibe, I think they need to fit every kind of era and every kind of fashion period.
Can I throw out something? This could be potentially part of their campaign. Is that like, we want a system that fits everyone.
Beautiful.
Wow.
That's our slogan.
Yeah. And I think that could cut your 3-year campaign in thirds. You only need one, and so you've got plenty of time there, Jess. I'll allow that. Anything else to say on your campaign?
I also think that Frankie has the opportunity to play lots of pranks on all of AJ's characters.
Pranky menus.
So, very good. So, not only are they settled with the hard task of trying to, you know, help, you know, lower decile families. It's they're also having to deal with all these pesky frickin'.
Well, I would say though that there's a disability with that because, as we all know, Frankie Muniz's main sort of move is to turn people blue. But AJ's operating with a team who is 1/3 already blue.
All right, I got some stuff to say. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Before it leaves my brain. All right, first of all, your slogan, one size fits all, where have I heard that before? We are sick of a society. We are sick of world leaders in this country, America, saying that one size fits all. Do you know who thinks that? The 1% think one size fits all. We don't want one size to fit all because someone, 1%, has been wearing the best pants for this entire time. We don't want it to fit all. We want it to fit the 99% and not the 1%. Secondly, if there's one thing that I have proof that Sully has done in two separate movies, it's infiltrate and discover secrets behind things that he trusted. Right? He discovered that Waternoose was the villain in Monsters, Inc. And he discovered that there was some kind of shit in Monsters University, right? That was like uncovered. Anyway, what have we uncovered about your campaign? Oh, Frankie Muniz is a big fat liar. Do not trust anything this guy is saying. He is on the record as a liar. And to answer your question before, Richard, of how do I get a monster to to be the figurehead of a human-aimed target audience, simple. We don't show Sully. We show the rugged, the handsome, the can't help but think he's the coolest guy ever, doesn't even have a fucking name, man with no name. We have Sully pulling the strings from behind, but we know it's not pulling the strings in like a devious, sinister way, because if there's one thing we know, it's that Sully deeply loves the human race. He does. Like, he learns that through the events of Monsters, Inc., that he loves the human race. So, therefore, he is advising. I'm changing it around. So, the man with no name is now a figurehead. Sully is his advisor. Leatherface is their case study of how they can deliver the impoverished from the lower.
I'm ready to make my final ruling.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this one to Jess. And I'm going to explain why. AJ, you lost it.
Nothing ever changes.
AJ, you lost it for yourself at the end. So what Jess is pitching...
Got a bit conspiratorial over there, but I thought it was good.
What Jess is pitching is a system which, you know, is good. She's, you know, going to take care of everything for everyone. But she's pitching a plan which is going to get a black man into the White House in the most powerful position in the country. AJ, you knowing... you. Openly admitted that the one character of color in your team is not going to be front facing at all and is going to be in the background. And I'm sorry, I just can't stand
it. I also never said we're running for president. I didn't say that.
I just don't support that kind of segregation.
Right, so we're into all film franchise fight games lead to identity politics and explodes into argument. Nice.
I enjoyed that. I think maybe it is more fun to have a goal than a fight.
Yeah, I don't know about
you. Well, that makes a lot of sense because someone like Barbie isn't going to murder.
Yeah.
At least you put that caveat on it that, yep, the characters are also vengeful.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, should we go Richard versus AJ and Jess? Do you want to adjudicate?
Yeah,
but you feel free to alter the game in any way you see fit.
I think it's pretty good. I don't know about you guys, but this feels very therapeutic for me. I'm usually like a very agreeable person in my day-to-day life. So to have an excuse to be able to argue...
You can't see this at home, but Jess is like really like hunched her shoulders when she said that. It was just like, I don't know. I just think it's fun.
All right. Shall we collect our deck, Richard?
Okay.
87.
Is that for you or me?
I'll take it.
You'll take it. That gives you the Fast and the Furious.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pretty good.
64
gives me equally as good. It gives me Hellraiser.
Oh,
yo.
Okay.
165.
Chucky. Oh. Child's Play.
Oh, that's mine. I'll sweep. I was like, God damn it. 70.
Franchise 70 is 300.
Oh my god, this is shaken up to be a good match, boys.
45. Whoa.
45.
We're like, it doesn't always have to be a fight, and now we've got the most aggressive.
It's gotta be a fight.
45 is my next one.
The Hangover.
The Hangover? Okay, okay.
122 gives me Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Okay.
125.
125 for me. Only three later 100- than that.
25 gives you The Little Mermaid.
Ooh. Oh, fine. 111.
111 gives me Fright Night.
54
for your final one.
Mm-hmm.
The Mask. Fuck.
Okay, and your last one is?
33 gives me Nymphomaniac.
Oh. Yes. All right.
Okay. Now we need to roll for a location.
No, we
or a
choose
setting.
Our team first.
Ah, yep, that's right.
My first one. I have to go.
Can I just because you both, I think, have such interesting ones that you pulled, like such like Hellraiser and stuff. Can I change it to make it a bit more D&D? But you can choose like a character, but you could also choose like an effect. So essentially, like a spell card. Or something.
Oh yeah,
it does need the second, like that what I said was an event. It does need, I think, a second. Like I love that we get given a setting from the deck as well. But I think it would be better if you also had like a prop or something.
Okay,
or
well,
a
I'm
weapon
yeah. my so prop. I'm gonna choose the mask.
We could do three characters, one prop that any of the characters could use, and then the setting.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet.
Okay, so do you want to roll for a prop then?
Do we have to roll for the prop, or
I think you can just pick one.
We just choose the prop from our, yeah.
From all of. Yeah. Okay, right. Now that makes sense.
So, this is interesting. Well, for my first character, I'm just gonna go Dom Toretto from Fast and Furious.
All right. Can I pick all 300 Spartans?
And then the challenge is like, who can fit into the smallest space?
What do we reckon? Well, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I can only go Leonidas.
I think it's for Leonidas.
You could choose like the strength of the army of 300 as your spell.
I'm choosing Leonidas, who has the support of the army.
Right.
They're just cheering from the sidelines.
So I gotta go Chucky as my next one.
All right, you better hope it's an aggressive movie we pick for the...
Actually, no, sorry. Can I get, was it Tiffany? His...
Yeah.
Yeah.
For his wife. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go... Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Interesting.
I'm contemplating, so I've obviously got the mask, but like, do I get Stanley Ipkiss as the mask, or do I just use the mask as my prop? Because I'm thinking my other option would be to get if I take Stanley Ipkiss, then my prop I would choose the roofies from The Hangover.
Oh.
Or if I go Alan for my character and then just choose the mask as the prop, which could be worn.
I think
by
choosing the mask as the prop is very, very smart.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Alan character. From The Hangover as my final character.
Because if you choose,
he has the roofies.
I think I was gonna say he comes
not
equipped.
Fucking like,
yeah.
Not like Ursula or anyone from the
Little Mermaid. I completely forgot about Ursula's existence until just now. No, I'm gonna go Alan. I'm hoping that we're playing on land.
Okay, I've not got a lot left in the way of like, well, I guess there's no one from Nymphomaniac, nor prop from Nymphomaniac that I think would really help me out here. As funny as it would be to just choose a sexy lady. What's the main character from Nymphomaniac called?
Can't remember. I would have thought you'd go the vampire for Fight Night.
Yeah, but I've already got three fighters.
Right.
I need someone.
But he's also
intelligence.
You need a lover. So go for Nymphomaniac.
Joe. Okay, I'm gonna go Joe from Nymphomaniac.
Okay. For my prop, I'm gonna go Loki's mask from The Mask.
Oh, is it supposed to be Loki's mask?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, and Alan Cumming plays Loki in Son of the Mask. And AJ.
And for my prop,
this fucking shirt from Sarah Marshall.
I'm going to go the furry wall from Get Him to the Greek.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Oh. That's a good call.
Distraction technique.
Actually, a pretty bad
Okay.
Alrighty, so now give us
our goal
location.
Or whatever.
Alrighty.
45.
Franchise number 45 is The Hangover. We roll again.
Roll again.
115. Oh, sorry, guys. We're out of random.
115. You've used 115 your random numbers for the day.
Is The Godfather. So which setting from The Godfather are we picking?
Are you confident enough in The Godfather?
Well, I haven't watched it. But could I use what I imagine The Godfather would be about?
I would encourage you to.
Okay. Okay, it's set at a wedding.
Partially.
My daughter's wedding.
Yes.
Is that right?
Can I please have a gift?
No.
Oh, fuck. I'm allowed to.
A horse head in your bed? And yeah, so we're sort of doing like a goal, right? So it's like the best person to do something in a particular way. Mm.
Yes.
Do you guys have any ideas?
Curry the Godfather's favor.
Oh, yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so just to reiterate, Richard has got Dom from Fast and Furious, Tiffany from Child's Play, Alan from The Hangover, and is also using The Mask from The Mask. And I have got Pinhead from Hellraiser, Leonidas from 300, Joe from Nymphomaniac, and The Furry Wall from Forgetting.
And we're trying trying to do?
And we're trying to curry Don Vito's favor.
So, I mean, I think I something that's very important to Vito Corleone. I'll start, AJ. what do we know about Vito Corleone? He loves one thing above all else, and he actually shares that in common with someone from my team. That's family. Vito Corleone. I mean, family's everything to these mafiosos, and. Yeah, I mean, I think if there was any character in the history of fiction that was able to best connect with him one-on-one. It's him. And you think about, so Dom Toretta, obviously, it's a meme. The guy loves family and mm-hmm. you know. Tiffany from Child's Play, so in love with her partner that she brings him back from the dead. What if that doesn't tell you, I love my family, I don't know what does. And then, if you cast your mind back to the plots of The Hangover, especially the third one, it's all about Alan. It's about the family we make, the brotherhood, the wolf pack. And you got these three, and then they wouldn't even need to activate the mask. Because
you've got to activate the prop. You can't just say you don't.
Well, okay. So we, okay.
But specifically, how are they? Because they all got the same, you know, values.
Very different people.
I'm attempting to we talked about on the mask episode and the idea that the mask doesn't just turn you into Jim Carrey. You know. It just elevates what you're already doing. So if a character played by Jason Bateman were to wear the mask, he wouldn't be zany and super silly. He would be the straight man turned up to 11. Imagine if family-loving Dom Toretto puts on the mask, what that is going to do to his love of family. And I think that, you know, approaching the Don on his daughter's wedding day, which is a very important day for his family, and just say, look, we're here because we just love the idea of family in all its forms. We've come here to support you. We don't even want anything. I know you've got a line out the door of people that are asking for favors because there's some loophole in mafioso law that says you will grant us a favor on this day. We don't even want anything. We just want to be a part of things. We just love family so much. And I think Vito Corleone is going to give that two thumbs up. That's my pitch.
It's an interesting thing happening here because I don't know enough about The Godfather. It's like you guys...
Oh, it's all about him loving family.
it's now on you guys to convince me that you're right without me having any idea. It's like you guys need to do some thinking about what I'm thinking.
Well, first thing I'd like to do is do some rebuttal. And the main thing I want to point out is Don Vito Corleone is not going to be able to stand being in the presence of Alan from The Hangover for more than 5 minutes. That dude is the definition, even in The Hangover, of overstaying his welcome. He is going to be nervous. He is going to be accidentally offensive. You have got a grenade in your lineup, Richard, and it's Alan from The Hangover. So that's the first thing I want to point out.
I think grenades are good, but I'll let you make your pitch.
And what if Alan puts on the mask? Alan, thirsty for power as well in these films, would probably put on the mask and then become
a super version
of himself.
Alan has ever thirsted for power in these films. I don't know where that came from.
He roofied his friends because he wanted to be
AJ,
friends
I don't,
with
them. It sounds to me like you're stalling because you can't think of anything, whereas I made a pretty airtight pitch.
I can think of some stuff. It's not very good, but I can think of it.
No, I think that's a pretty good point. Alan's annoying as shit. I wouldn't want him at my wedding.
So is the Don. You hear the way he talks?
It's so fucking annoying. Jess.
Yes.
We're trying to curry favor from The Godfather. Do you know what's better than favor?
Curry.
Allegiance. Allyship, being equals, being mutual respect, because then favors, that's just being a good friend, something The Godfather, as Richard has established, is all about.
Being a good friend.
I'm not trying to scrub up to him and see if I can work something out with him. I want Don Corleone to see me as his equal. So here's what we're going to do. All right. I am going to call on the powers of Joe from Nymphomaniac. Joe from Nymphomaniac is going to gift the Godfather with a furry wall. All right.
Is that a euphemism?
Forgetting And it's a euphemism, right? So he's going to think that's pretty explicit, this nymphomaniac offering me her furry wall, right? Then we're going to bring in, we're going to get Joe to team up with Pinhead so that she looks extra kinky and extra seductress. And then Joe is going to start gunning for Michael Corleone, Don Corleone's favorite son, right? And he's not going to like this because the Godfather is a man of loyalty. He's a man that knows his son is married and will not be happy seeing the seductress get in the way. So then what we're going to do is we're going to introduce Leonidas into the pack. Now, Leonidas, I know you're thinking, what is 300 Spartans gonna do to help this situation? Well, that's irrelevant. Luckily, I don't need to use the 300 Spartans because one of the characteristics so entrenched in Leonidas as a character, so entrenched that it spits in the face of historical accuracy, is that he not only loves women, he's not gay, he also is extraordinarily, like, he hates classical music. He's also extraordinarily loyal to Lena Headey, who plays his wife in the film, right? So we're going to then introduce Leonidas. He's going to swoop in. He's going to befriend Michael Corleone. And then with his skills of, with his clear loyalty, Don Corleone is going to see Leonidas as a fantastic influence on his son's life. Another man of authority, another man of power, another man of respect. And he's going to watch as Leonidas convinces Michael Corleone to not cheat on his wife with Joe from Nymphomaniac, who we're all in cahoots, but the Godfather doesn't know this. And then that's how we're going to curry favor, is we're going to save Michael Corleone from infidelity in front of the Godfather using the kinky powers of Hellraiser, the sexual prowess of Nymphomaniac with the fairy wall as like a Kickstarter
I'm gonna jump in here.
And Leonidas as the front man for our operation.
Okay, because what I think is happening here is that AJ,
I can't remember anything I just said.
AJ painted this beautiful picture that includes not only someone taking action, mm-hmm. but also some clever manipulation to get where the characters want to be. At the moment, Richard, what I think I have from you is Don Toretto going up to the Godfather and just sort of like side bumping him and being like, hey, family, right? Yeah, so, family.
Family, am I right?
Couple of things here. One, I think the Don, you know, despite all the violence and everything that you know, he partakes in, quite conservative. I think all the sort of sexual stuff around him would just really put him off. It would really throw him. But
that's what I'm aiming for. That's my point.
I want you to think, both of you, AJ, I'm so confident in my point here that I'm inviting you two to think about it, is think about your best friends. AJ, in your case, obviously, you'd be thinking about me.
I'm looking at them right now.
Now, think about why that person's your best friend and why, or any of your friends are your friends. It's not because of these insane things about a kinky fuckery and you know, saving people from adultery. That's not how people curry favor with you. Do you know how people, you know, you become friends with people? Shared values. That's all I need.
I would put to you,
and worst case scenario, I drug him. My team has a history of knocking people out for the time leading up to a wedding. But you know what happens when they get to the wedding? They're best friends.
Okay, Richard, here's why I think I've inexplicably won this round.
Well, Jess was about to say something. I want to let
May I put something else in there, Jess, before you go ahead?
Yes, it's probably quite likely what I'm thinking.
Okay, you have taken the strategy, Richard, of being all three characters must curry favor with the Godfather. I'm only currying favor with one of my characters.
Inexplicably won.
Well, no. Let me finish. The other
AJ
two characters,
just throwing out L's for himself. Oh, yeah, no, two of my characters are actually hated by the Godfather. Okay.
And that hatred fuels, fuels the love for another one. One of your characters, at least, will never be friends with you. You could talk for another hour and 10 minutes and not convince me that Alan from The Hangover.
Well, but you said we had to be done by 8.
Would curry favor with the Godfather. Alan from The Hangover is getting, you know, that bit at the start where he's like, "Why don't you act like a man?" From The Godfather, not from The Hangover. That's what Alan is going to be, this blubbering mess that the Godfather will see nothing but lack of respect for. I think out of all of these scenarios we've built, the thing he hates the most, the thing he hates more than the idea of some nymphomaniac trying to steal his son, I think the thing he hates most is exactly the kind of personality that Alan from The Hangover is.
Well, finally, two of my characters carry favor with him, which is one more than you're claiming to have.
The thing that I'm thinking is that you've both interpreted carry favor slightly differently.
Oh, you want to see who can get a butter chicken out of him?
Yeah.
Who can get a little curry favor?
Richard, you've taken it as friendship, but AJ, you've taken it as mutual respect, which is not necessarily friendship.
Now, it's all up to, I think it's out of our hands now, more or less, and we're left up to the adjudicator's definition of curry favor.
Yes, or more what I think The Godfather's like without having never seen a movie of it.
Yeah. Wait, can I throw one last thing?
Okay.
I think Alan would love the little orange sliced teeth trick that The Godfather does. When he cuts up an orange slice, puts in his teeth and goes, I think.
Okay, he can enjoy it from the loser's pen because AJ wins this one.
I'm sorry, Richard. I honestly think selecting Alan was what screwed you. I could have said anything. And my main defense was there's no way Vito Corleone is befriending Alan from that.
I don't think he would befriend Pinhead.
Pinhead, he never meets Pinhead in my strategy, though. I deliberately kept these faces away from him. Anyway, that's all our time for today. I think that was good. We all won one. Yeah. There we go. Let us know on the Discord if you like this game, if you want us to play it again, if there's like some kind of, maybe we could like organize a live version or get the people from the Discord to play. Mm. I think obviously like
we do owe the patrons a game, something. So
yeah. Obviously it's a game that like involves subjectivity on the adjudicator's side, but that feels very cult popturian to me. To be like, part of it is being creative and making shit up and siding with some side of a debate, you know? So I hope people think that's fun. Let us know what you think. This was a lot of fun to play, and I'm glad it evolved into what it became. If you guys like this, please consider following us on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also, as I said, join the Discord, which there's a link to in the show notes. And if you want to throw in some money so that one day we too can make this game happen, then maybe we can make it if we reach a thousand patrons. Head on over to patreon.com where you can do all sorts of things like tell us which movies to watch and get involved in the post credit
scene. Stick around for the post
credit
scene. And Jess, are you going to stick around for the post credit scene? Do you want to answer a question with us?
Sure,
all right, I'm clicking over to a different Google Sheet. Thank you for listening.
Welcome along to the post-credit scene. This is a segment at the end of each episode where if you donate $5 or more over at patreon.com/culpopture, you get to give us something to talk about in this, the post-credit scene. Richard and Jess, who is it from and what is it?
Today's comes to us from Christopher Brown, who says, what film meal would you most want to partake in?
Oh,
this feels like tread ground, but like the pizza from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Scooby-Doo or something like that, cartoon pizza.
Or a Goofy movie.
Yeah, that looks like unfathomably cheesy. That's my answer.
The best thing that I think I've ever seen in a film that I'm like, that looks fucking delicious, is that little biscuit thing that they dip in milk in the cat movie? The Aristocats. And little mouse comes over and he dips into the little biscuit. And it looks so good!
Yeah.
I reckon the drinks from The Hangover.
The roofied ones.
The roofied drinks from The Hangover.
Free drugs.
Drugs and it's roofies.
Yeah. I mean, the one that I remember looking the most delectable is the like imaginary feast in Hook.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking that as well. Yeah,
the,
yeah.
The Lost Boys partaken. Trying to think if there's anything else I can think of.
I'm thinking of binging with Babbage episodes, yeah, I've really same. Liked. The Krabby Patty is always
milk
good.
Steak.
Sloppy steak.
That's my
answer. Sloppy steaks, where I think you should leave. The sauce from Goodfellas.
Ah, great answer.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.